Welcome to Zion for the services of the Lord's house this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Let us begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Lord of Our Life.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 21st, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Casey Jones. The opening hymn number 659 is Lord of Our Life. Hymn number 659 found in the Lutheran service book. Gary and Wilma Donath are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of their daughters, Diana Louise Donath and Jennifer Louise Van Pelt. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of Corey and Jenna Jones' third wedding anniversary.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our minds, enlighten our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day.
Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague comes near your tent. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord of mercy, Christ of mercy, Lord of mercy, to God on high be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaim that Jesus birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you also be God and God on us when we pray. For the Lord God, our Savior, to take us in the way. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Will you enter our seated at God's right hand on high? For you alone are holy, you only are Lord. Forever and forever, we worship and adore you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse, and serves in part as our sermon text. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him, or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terrors on every side. denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to confession, what is confession?
Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is in eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. So fear not. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 570, Just As I Am Without One Plea, hymn number 570 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
the sermon text from today's Old Testament reading. For I hear many whispering, terrors on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. Say to all my friends, say all my close friends, watch me for watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, sometimes the church, that is, the people of the church, are called to say hard things. Christians, say like Martin Luther, might be compelled to speak out against errors or abuses of their own church body. At other times, a Christian might be called to speak out against the abuses of their government, such as happened in Soviet Russia, where countless Christians were executed or exiled into the gulags, or as still happens in China or North Korea or other countries, wherever communism takes a foothold, and radical Islam too, for that matter. It happened in Germany, where the Christians who spoke up against National Socialism ended up in concentration camps alongside other undesirables. For in any situation or any political system where the state is God, there can be no other gods to compete with it. And Christianity is put under the iron heel of totalitarianism. In our culture, a softer persecution is faced. To proclaim Jesus as the only way to salvation is to invite a legion of angry comments from social media or other sources. Try being a Christian athlete who chooses their Christian faith over their team or their league's promotion of pride events. And then you will find out just how free your speech is. Jeremiah, who is called the Iron Prophet, was called by God to speak against his own nation, to proclaim the punishment of God would fall upon Judah. Jeremiah chapter 19 lets us know what sins were committed in the city of Jerusalem and thus the entire nation and the resulting punishment that God would bring on them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle, because the people have forsaken me. They have profaned this place by making their offerings to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known. And because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places to Baal to burn their sons in the fire as offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it come into my mind. So they have forsaken God. They have taken to worshiping other gods. And worse yet, they have built altars to Baal. And they have begun to practice the abominable practice of child sacrifice, burning their children in the fire to a foreign god. Therefore, that's what they did. Therefore, now the punishment of God will come upon Judah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall be called the Valley of Slaughter. And in this place I will make void the plans of Judah and Jerusalem. Their city will be besieged and will cause their people to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. I will give their dead bodies as food for the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city a horror, a thing to be hissed at. Everyone who passes by will be horrified by it and will hiss because of all its wounds. and I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and their daughters, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his neighbor in the siege and in the distress to which their enemies and those who seek you their life afflict them. So Jerusalem is going to be put under siege by the Assyrian Empire. And it's going to be so horrible that the people will resort to cannibalism, eating the flesh of their children and eating the flesh of their neighbor. Thus I will do to this place. All the houses on the roofs whose offerings have been offered to the hosts of heaven and drink offerings have been poured out to other gods. You can see why Jeremiah wasn't a popular prophet, if that was his message. Jeremiah came from where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the courts of the Lord's house, and he said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon this city and upon all its towns all the disaster that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their neck and they have refused to hear my words." As you can imagine, such prophecy was not popular. Jeremiah's preaching greatly angered Pashur, the chief priest, and all the other priests who spoke of nothing but peace and the Lord's blessing upon the king and upon the city of Jerusalem. Pashur, the chief priest, had the prophet Jeremiah arrested, and he put him in the stocks for a day, and then he had him beaten. I can't imagine what that was like. First you get beaten, and then you know what stocks are. That thing where they put your hands, you know, in a hole in a board and they bring it down over your head and you're like this. And you're stuck there all the day long. It's put you in an awkward position. It's hard to support your back and your hamstrings, so they will burn and they will be on fire from all the lactic acid building up in your muscles. And of course, you're stuck there. Ain't nobody gonna let you out when you gotta go to the bathroom. And so you end up soiling all of your clothes. And then there's the bugs and the flies and the gnats all swirling around you. And there's no way for you to shoo them away or to itch the or to scratch the itches. And of course, people came by and they mocked you. Maybe threw things at you. All of this Jeremiah went through. And eventually he was stoned to death. But he endured all of this for the sake of the word of the Lord. Who knows what we might face for the sake of the word of the Lord? Not many of us are called to be like Jeremiah. Not many of us are called to be like Stephen, who was stoned to death for proclaiming Jesus as the Savior of the world. We most likely will not face the deaths that the disciples or the apostles faced, only one of them dying a natural death of old age. Still, each of us will face opportunities in our Christian journey to either side with the world or side with Christ. And many of the opportunities will be small and they will seem inconsequential. Many has conceded to a view of the world consisting of evolutionary theory that man is simply an animal, along with all the other animals and with an animal's value and worth. A Christian might be tempted, for example, to abandon the scriptural teaching of a literal six-day creation or deny that Adam and Eve were real people who really existed at the beginning of the creation of the world. We can be tempted to put our feelings and our emotions at the center of our worship and our faith rather than the objective truth of the declaration of the forgiveness of sins through the Word of God. There are times where I don't feel forgiven. So be it. But I will place God's Word over my feelings every single time. The point is that either in our personal faith lives or in the body of Christ or in the general population at large, there are always opportunities to fall away. The church, that is, from all Christians in the world to the local congregation to we as individual believers, have opportunities to stand for the truth of the Holy Scripture in the face of false belief and false teaching. Take today, for example. The table of the Lord is set, and we practice closed communion. That means that we understand that the sacrament of the altar is not neutral. A person can receive it to their benefit or to their hurt. And we want people coming to this altar knowing what they receive here. That they receive coming, they come with the repentance of their sins and they come seeking forgiveness of those sins. They come to the table knowing and understanding that here is in this table the body and blood of Jesus Christ are truly and really present in, with, and under the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar. Communing at an altar is being in fellowship with the public confession taught in this congregation. So then, those who belong to a different denomination are kindly asked to respect our doctrine and to refrain from receiving the sacrament of the altar. And there are those who are convinced that this is a very unloving thing to do. And indeed, sometimes they get angry about such a practice. And it is a temptation to want to commune relatives of a different denomination. And sometimes we face anger over our doctrine. However, we stand on Scripture and we commune those whom we are in fellowship with. It doesn't mean that we are elitists, and it doesn't mean that we are the only ones saved. But what it does mean is that we care enough to set boundaries. So be it in church or in society in general, we choose to side with Christ and with our confession of Christ as found in the Book of Concord. And we desire to live without the fear of worldly opinion. As Jesus said in our gospel reading, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let us then hold fast to our confession of faith. As we cling to Christ in the Word and in the face of all opposition, and may we come at last to that life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all now rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of our salvation, your Son warned that your people would face opposition from the world. Give courage and fortitude to your pastors and to your people that they would boldly sing your praises, gladly endure suffering for the name of Jesus, and continue by your grace to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and of love for your world and your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Lord, in your mercy. Father, not one of the sparrows falls to the ground apart from your knowledge. Look with favor upon all who are grieving. Especially do we ask you to hear our prayers for those who mourn the death of Will Boos. Comfort his relatives in the Clockengay family and all the other relatives and friends who mourn his death. We pray also for those who grieve the death of Nancy Olander. Comfort those who grieve with the sure and certain confidence of her adoption by grace in the waters of holy baptism, so that they may look forward to a joyous reunion in heaven. O Lord, you deliver our feet from falling and our souls from death. Receive our thanks for the saints who have gone before us. Preserve us in your grace that we may walk before you in the light of life forever. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all creation, receive the thanksgivings of Rod and Peggy Meyer for the birth of a grandson, Derek, born to Jonathan and Lisa. Watch over and bless Derek and bring him to yourself and keep him in the true faith until life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace and comfort, hear our prayers for the sick and those seeking health for their bodies. Continue, we pray you, to strengthen Teresa Ricard so that she may return home from the hospital. Strengthen Sue Awe as she seeks relief from the seizures that assault her body. And give her relief from the uncertainty of this ailment. Continue to grant Tim Neitzel healing from his surgery that he may have health and well-being. And Lord of life, grant that all who partake communion this day would present themselves as those brought out of death into life, that they would repent of their transgressions and greatly gratefully receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, and just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your home, your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and their children from the tree of life. Yet in your mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Our first communion hymn is number 610, Lord Jesus, Think on Me, hymn number 610, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, shed for you on the cross. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 854. Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. Hymn number 854, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Announcements made, property and maintenance announcements. microphone on the lectern, that would be fantastic.
July the 11th at 8 o'clock a.m. I'd like to have a school work day. Hopefully it'll only take the morning, but we've got items that need to be moved off the stage to make way for the costumes, for the like Journey to Bethlehem costumes to move out of the portable classrooms to that portion of the stage. Some other things that we want to move out of the portable classrooms, some desks and file cabinets and some other odds and ends. We're hoping to empty those out, okay? And they're no longer needed, and we'd like to get them emptied out. So if we could have some volunteers come about 8 o'clock on July 11th, like I said, I think if we get enough people there, it'll only take the morning, and we can get that taken care of. So I appreciate if anybody that could come and help, come on out. Have a good time.
Thank you, Betsy. Also, please check your bulletin. We've got vacation Bible school going on. We've got our VBS coming up. We have ZLS swim night. I think, Dr. Perry, that's coming up pretty soon. So check your bulletin for all the things that are going on here at church in the upcoming days and weeks. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.